This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Don't be taking any of Rosenberg's garbage, Michael and Donnie. The Michael K. Show starts right now.
Thank you, Mr. Reigns, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's January 27th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, your responsibility. Why just 3.5 hours? Well, we've got the Rangers and the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a 7 o'clock puck drop. So our pregame show will be at 6:30. So we got to cram it all in for 3.5 hours, and we got a great show.
Jam it up.
We got a great show.
Jam it up.
What jam it up was that second one? The first one?
Mine.
Oh, you did a live one.
I did a live version.
Okay. Live jam it up.
Because that's what I was thinking of doing, Peter, for a little extra money once the pandemic is over, that we take the drops live in concert. We do all the drops live.
Wow.
You know what?
On TV.
What would the format be for a show like that?
Well, that's we'd be on TV.
All right, yeah.
On TV.
Yeah, obviously it's on TV. Interesting.
Now, Don, I've got a question to ask you.
Sure.
So you're doing the pregame for the – are you also doing the play-by-play?
Yeah.
For tonight. Okay, good. I was wondering why you were in our studio today.
Play-by-play the next two nights.
There you go.
Fix that!
Kenny's a rumor, pretty much, right? Kenny's a rumor.
No, Kenny's got places to be. He's got to go to Milwaukee to do the Knicks-Bucks on tomorrow.
I get it. Okay, right. So let's talk about this. So how many games have you done this year?
Let's break down the math.
This will be my 31st.
And how many games have they played?
This will be their 44th.
He's a rumor.
Now, listen, by the way, if anyone's wondering, well, I'm worried, I'm concerned, because there's a Knicks game tomorrow.
Right.
Does that mean the show's going to be preempted? No. The Knicks and Bucks start at 10 o'clock in Milwaukee for some reason.
And we're going to have the Rangers on 98.7.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Also Henrik Lundqvist night.
Right.
So it's a big special night, and Don's going to be behind the mic for that. And we'll have Henrik Lundqvist on at 4 o'clock today to talk about this. First he went to Fallon, and they said, okay, then what's the second most important thing? Then it's this show.
It's exactly what he said.
I actually think you did it in reverse. He warmed up with Fallon. And then came here. Now, guys, I had to change my... Tell me what you think. Did I make the right call? I had to change the airfare and move my trip. I have the Royal Rumble this weekend in St. Louis, and I was scared to leave my flight at tomorrow night, so I'm now going to St. Louis in the morning, and we'll be doing the show tomorrow from St. Louis. Live from St. Louis, as it's known. I thought it was too much of a risk.
I think you made the wise choice.
Very wise.
Right, Don? That's the right move, no?
Yeah. It sounds like everything's going to start like at around 11 o'clock.
My flight was 9:30. Felt a little close.
You probably would be okay.
Right.
But you don't know.
No, don't.
You need to be there for the Royal Rumble.
Believe me, I'm not missing the Rumble. Don't you worry.
There's nothing wrong with an extra day in St. Louis.
Yeah. No.
Talk to Brownshire about places to go because he was quite the gadfly back in St. Louis.
I actually, you know what I want to do? I kind of want to do a whole, like, Brown Shirt, this is your life thing tomorrow night.
Go to the Four Seasons and just gamble the night away.
Wow.
Well, that sounds nice.
Why not? I'm sure, get a lot of Rona there.
Wait, is the Four Seasons on the water? It's like a casino situation? Or is it just legal in St. Louis now?
No, the Four Seasons is running a Shylocking place. Yeah,
you got to go where it says laundry,
okay.
And you've got to knock on the door 7 times.
And then go
boom chaka laka laka boom chaka laka laka, and then they let
Jimmy,
you in.
And little Jimmy will do it.
we're kind of having fun at the beginning of the show because I mean, do we really want to dive into the abyss that happens to be the New York Knicks? If you watched that game yesterday on ESPN, they were embarrassed by the Heat. They were embarrassed by the Heat. I don't know how many times I should say that. They were never in it. The final score is not indicative of how much of a blowout it was. The starting five just discombobulated. Julius Randle had an uninspired game where I was thinking about this, guys. Can you remember an athlete in New York City having an otherworldly year the way Julius Randle did last year, and then have this kind of crash-to-earth sort of situation the very next year. He looks like a different player.
There has to be. There has to be a ton that we're not thinking of.
I mean, I could think of one guy, Kevin Moss. But Kevin Moss like burst upon the scene halfway through the year. It wasn't like a full season.
Saquon,
where he was like an all-pro sort of guy.
Saquon is sort of there, but it's different. He's got the injuries and stuff.
This has nothing to do with any kind of physical ailment. Right. He just looks like a different guy.
And it's not like a rookie that jumped on the scene. He had been on different teams. He had been with the Knicks for a little while, and then it looked like it all just came together for him. And now, you just hate to say it, but was he and the team just an aberration last year? Are we back to square one? Forget about how they're playing right now. Can they make it? Because, listen, in the NBA, 20 of the 30 teams make the playoffs. So making the playoffs is no kind of an accomplishment. But they were supposed to be building off of something last year. If last year turned out to be Fugazi, we're right back to where we were before last year. Does anybody want to come here? Are they well coached enough? Do they have the right executives? All that's in question now. Because I got news for you. Thibodeau is a great coach, but does anybody want to play for Thibodeau if they're not playing for a championship? Because Thibodeau can wear on players. And that's one thing when you'll live with it when you're competing for a championship. But if it's just to get into the play-in, I don't know how attractive that's going to be for free agents.
Coaches that really ride their team hard, they have results. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'll lose them. We had the book author Chris Herring on the other day. Riley was just a beast to the players, and if they didn't get results, they would have completely went up against him. They would not have listened to him. And Van Gundy is tough on players. We're gonna have him on at 5:00. But they got results. But if you don't get results, they're gonna cash their chips out. Well, what are we doing? Well, why are we killing ourselves? So Randle yesterday, 11 points, 5 for 12 from the field again, 0 for 3 from three-point land. It was awful. Played 27 minutes. I think he had a plus-minus and minus in the 30s.
That's been the crazy thing the last few games with Randle. The plus-minus is insane.
And if you watched the game on ESPN last night, and Van Gundy did it, he was spitting fire. Now, you can interpret this whichever way you want, because he was really critical of the players, of the roster, and he's best friends with Thibodeau. So you wonder, how much of that does Thibodeau think? And after the way he went off on the Knicks yesterday, and Jeff, I think, has always been very circumspect when talking about the Knicks. He doesn't want to have people think, well, because he left the way he did, that he's got something against them. No,
he roots for them.
He said
he's always said that, yeah.
But when he comes as hard with opinions as he did yesterday, you wonder how much of that is from talking to your buddy. And because he was so really straightforward yesterday, I asked Andrew, can we get him on? And he's going to be on at 5:00. But here's some of what Jeff was saying on ESPN. He was very critical of their starting lineup.
They don't bring it on a nightly basis. I'm talking the starting unit. And there's been plenty of time throughout the year to show that they work well together. I just don't know how they continue on like this. You know, that's the definition of insanity, is seeing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Now, okay, so then he's taking a very, very clear shot at the players, and probably most at Randle. And then he goes on, and he said he doesn't like the pieces that the Knicks have. So this would be interpreted as a shot at Leon Rose.
In terms of great players, do the Knicks have enough of those pieces that are going to attract another team to make a huge deal that's really going to improve this Knicks team right now?
No, they don't. And really what happened is this summer, they thought they were upgrading. They made a lot of moves, you know, extended Randle, paid Randle, Nerlens Noel, Walker, and Fournier. It just hasn't worked yet.
Really, all four free agent signings, you could look at them and go, swing and a miss. Nerlens Noel can't stay on the court. Kemba, we know what his story is with the bad left knee, and then he was benched for all that time. But you know, and then when he got back in the lineup because of COVID, he played very well. Then the knee gave out. Then Fournier's been awful, awful. I mean, you didn't want DeMar DeRozan, but you signed Evan Fournier. I'm sorry. And then extending Julius Randle right now, are you able to trade Julius Randle? And one thing that I've noticed, Thibodeau is not criticizing Randle at all. And the way I'm thinking, The first time you could trade Randle is February 3rd because of the contract extension. The deadline is February 10th, the trade deadline in the NBA. I don't think he wants to ever criticize the guy, and if they could hoodwink some team into taking him, they got to trade him. Because right now he's running from the media, he's running from the fans, he has a war with both of them, and I also have, I've got to blame the Knicks a little bit. I got to blame the Knicks organization just a little bit, a little bit. Don't let him get away without talking to the media. That's part of being a star, and certainly part of being a star in New York. I don't care if he comes on the show. I don't care if he talks to the newspaper. It's not about that. You have to communicate with the fans that are down on you right now, and you are running away from it, and the Knicks are allowing it. They paid the $25,000 fine. He never, ever steps to the microphone after a bad game. That's a bad look. That and again, for all you fans, I don't care about the media. I don't know that most of you feel like that. Good, great. Here's the deal. When the big star that gets paid the most money doesn't talk, he has to pass the buck to other guys to talk and explain what happened. Leaders on teams, they're the ones that take the hits and the tough questions, and they answer the tough questions, and he is shirking that responsibility. He has not shown any leadership skills at all. He looks like he's got his nose out of joint because the fans seem to have fallen in love with R.J. Barrett now instead of him. Well, my message to Julius Randle is this. Every fan in New York City will always root for the homegrown guy over somebody who was drafted somewhere else. So last year they loved you because they've been starving and you had a great season, second team, second All-NBA. I get it. But once they have a chance to root for one of their own, a guy that was drafted by their organization, they're going to switch to him, especially when you're not playing well and especially when you told them to bleep off and now you will not talk to the media. I don't get it. And I don't get why the Knicks are allowing it to happen, except for the fact they don't want him in front of a microphone because they're trying to trade him, and they don't want him to open his mouth and say something dumb.
Now, that's an interesting thought, because that would actually make a lot of sense, because I don't know. We're talking about the things that make this unique, and other times where a player in New York has been fantastic for a year, then completely fallen off a cliff. But how about just in terms of public image changing on a player this much? You know, and I'm not letting Randle off the hook for that because of their own behavior. Poor play, not taking responsibility for said poor play, lashing out at fans, and now not speaking. I mean, the Q score of Julius Randle has gone from, do you guys realize, we used to fight on this show because Michael thought it was irritating that the crowd would chant MVP.
Right.
And Michael was like, that's not reasonable. And we said, okay, but that's how they feel, and they love him. That's how much they loved him. He got totally irresponsible and unrealistic MVP chants all last year. To be here now? What the hell?
Well, they loved him for what he represented, and that was a star. A star that maybe other stars would want to play with. And now if you don't have that, guys, and all you have is a team that has to settle for the play-in, then where are you going? Last year was supposed to be the building block. Last year was supposed to be the turning point. You had the coach. You had the executives, the front office. You had the star player. All right, was he a one? Was he a two? Was he Batman? Was he Robin? Was he Alfred? But he was one of the three that somebody might want to come play with. And if he's not any of that, guys, and this team is not what they were last year, then where are we going? What do we have to look forward to?
Now, last night, the Knicks lost by 14 points. The Heat did lead by 30 in the third quarter. And I said it was a 14-point deficit at the end of the game, but it was much more than that. If you watched the game, it was almost unwatchable. And I got to be honest, I didn't last the whole time because it just wasn't competitive. Well, the Knicks, without Julius Randle on the court, you ready for this? Without Julius Randle on the court, outscored the Heat 56-36.
Holy crap.
They outscored them by 20 points when Julius was not on the court. And in the month of January, Julius Randle has scored 17 points per game, and he's hitting 24.6% from three-point land. I mean, he's driven his career into a ditch. I don't think he's the type of guy that he's gotten comfortable because he got the big money. It's not like he was playing for minimum wage. He was on a 3-year, $66 or $60 million contract the way it was. So now he got the extension, so he's locked in for a long time. But he was making good money last year, and he would have made good money this year before he signed the extension. I just don't know what's gone on. I don't get it. I don't understand how a player could drop off the earth like this. It looks like he's in his own head, which is a bad place for an athlete to be. Thinking too much. He's got a war going on in his head with the fans and with the media. He's blaming all of them. And then the Knicks starting five is awful. And one other thing that you know, we talked about the R.J. Barrett factor. Every time they play at the Garden and Julius misses a shot, people start chanting Obi Toppin. Because Obi Toppin is homegrown and from the area and has a great name and has a lot of energy. Julius is not playing with energy anymore. And you watch some of the passes he makes. He's clueless out there. I feel badly for the guy. I really do. So the Knicks are 1-5 in their last six games, and it's starting to spiral out of control. I keep telling you, they're in a stretch of games right now where they can be buried. They might not even be in the play-in. They could bury themselves out of a postseason game. And because we're in New York, we have to always say, well, who's to blame? I don't think Thibodeau's to blame. He's the same coach. I think it's Leon Rose and the front office. What they did during the offseason was terrible. Terrible. Kemba turned out to be a terrible move. Fournier turned out to be a terrible move. And you can't really predict injuries, but Nerlens Noel, it's a waste of a three-year contract. And now, if Julius Randle is now this player, that was a terrible extension. But the one thing is, they don't answer questions either. Leon Rose thinks that the paying customers of the New York Knicks, the people that watch the MSG Network, listen to the games on 98.7, or go to Madison Square Garden and pay top-flight dollars, they don't have the right to know what his vision is. They don't have the right to hear him explain what he's done. He's spoken once since he became the Knicks GM. That's unacceptable in the big city, in the small city. GMs have to talk to their fan base. He's a ghost. When do you hear from the guy? Never. He's spoken once to Mike Breen on the MSG Network. That's irresponsible. And again, we run into the thing, and we have a good relationship with Dolan. Dolan doesn't love the media. So you think he's going to move heaven and earth and tell Leon Rose to talk? No, he doesn't care. You think he wants Julius Randle behind the microphone? No, he doesn't care. He doesn't like the media. Although he owns the MSG Network, which happens to be the media. But you got to be accountable to your fan base. Forget about the media. Just think about talking to the media is the microphone to talk to your fan base. Leon Rose refuses to talk to his fan base and explain his decisions and maybe expand on his vision. And then they let Julius Randle play poorly and not say a word. I don't get it. To me, that's spitting in your fan's face. That's what that is. Maybe I'm blowing it up a little bit too much. I don't know. But I've always felt that way. Forget about the media. Forget about the media as an entity. The media is the megaphone to talk to your fans. So Julius Randle is still flipping off the fans. And Leon Rose has a total disregard for the fans. We won't say a word. We have not heard from Rose. We have not heard from Perry. We have not heard from World Wide West. Steve Mills came on the air all the time. Scott Perry, when he used to work with Mills, now he's with them. He's with Leon. He used to come on. I mean, just give a state of the team address. Nothing? Nothing. The way they're playing now, you got nothing to say. I don't get it. Well, Jay Will had a lot to say today on KJM. You can hear them from 8 to 10 on 98.7. And he has declared at this point, that this is a lost season for the Knicks.
I think the season's lost. I don't think that you're going to get the value that you would want as a Knicks fan with this season at all. You're going to have to try to get a trade. Now, the question is, what are you willing to give up? And who are you attacking? Are you trying to get a guy like De'Aaron Fox? This is going to be a huge summer for a guy like Dame. You even hear Daryl Morey saying, hey, we're going to hold our cards with Ben Simmons. We're going to wait to see what happens with James Harden. You know, it's frustrating for me as a hooper because I see the potential of what the Knicks organization could be. And you think about if KD or Kyrie both wanted to come to that organization, how ready they are to be a championship contender. And it feels like last year they were exponentially closer, but I'm telling you as right now, it feels like they're exponentially further away.
All right, so that's what Don said earlier, and that's Jay Will obviously agrees. Well, who is to blame for this Nick mess?
You got to take on management here, man. I mean, this is Leon Rose. This is how they're looking to deal with it. I mean, you can try to put your blame on Tom Thibodeau. You know what this is going to be. All us hoopers know the style that Tom is going to play. We do. So when you give Julius Randle that piece, you are combining assets. But I think there's been a lot of who can you go for next up? Can you get a big time player to buy into the culture that Tibbs wants to establish with his team? But it starts with having the right young assets and trade value to go get your guy.
And finally, Jay Will is saying what a lot of people are thinking, that last year with Randall, last year with the Knicks with the fourth seed, that in fact was fool's gold.
When Julius Randle gets that four-year, $117 million deal, a lot of New York fans were ecstatic. And it was deservingly so. As an ex-player, you want to see a player get compensated for the type of year he had. But internally, the conversations we were having with a lot of ex-basketball players and executives were, is this fool's gold with this team? Because of all the injuries happened last year due to COVID, it just seemed like everything was working out for the Knicks. But is this truly who they were? I've said it multiple times. I didn't think this was who they were. Now, them making a move for Kemba Walker, who's been injury prone, what they've gone through this year, understanding the history of Tom Thibs and how there's a consensus around the league from players, a lot of younger players that I've talked to, that it just wears you down over time unless you have the right leadership in place, i.e. a Jimmy Butler or Derrick Rose. So I think now having a guy like RJ Barrett, who's still trying to find himself, Jeff Van Gundy absolutely annihilated this team last night, and it was deservingly so because you're not seeing the effort. You're seeing a team that feels like they're burned out.
It really does. I don't know if each of you saw a lot of the game, but they're like playing the game of basketball in quicksand. Julius Randle doesn't have a hop and a step. They just look slow, Peter.
It always looks like that. And you're like, am I just being hard on this team? Or are they just playing a different game? And then, like, just can't help but think, you know, feel for New York fans, too. When you look around at these other teams, man, the Heat are like the San Francisco 49ers. No matter what happens, they're there. I had no thought or expectation the 49ers should be playing for a conference championship. But kind of organization they are. You could say it's Shanahan. I would argue it's just the kind of organization they are. Same with the Heat. The Heat are a good team. Number one in the East. Every year they're here. And then you look at this Knicks team, and it feels like last year was so unfair. Such a tease.
And you look at the Heat, they go out and get players that fit the system they want to run. And then you look at Thibs. Thibs didn't want Kemba Walker. He didn't. It had to be a Leon Rose and Scott Perry decision. And, I mean, Evan Fournier, I mean, who decided that Evan Fournier was going to be the answer here and decided that they couldn't go after DeMar DeRozan because he's too old? How's it working out for Chicago? Again, we'll never know who made those decisions because nobody talks. Nobody says a word. Leon Rose says nothing.
You want to know you have the right people. Like you said, San Francisco's there, right? Because they know they got the coach. They may not have the quarterback, but they got the coach. You know, the Heat are a very well-run organization. So that's why they're going to get it right. The Steelers are there every year. Well-run, great coach. Had a great quarterback who retired today. What do the Knicks have? Do they have the star? No. Doesn't look like it. Do they have the coach? Again, I don't want to criticize Thibodeau. I don't think this is his fault. But how much longer is he going to be here? This is not some 36-year-old who's going to be here for the next 20 years.
No, he's 64 years old.
So this was going to be, you know, even if this worked out, Michael, the feeling was he was going to build something that maybe he'd hand off to somebody else. And we thought that Rose and Perry and the brain trust here was the right brain trust, and maybe they'll be proven right down the road. But you know, right now we thought we had at least two of those three things at the end of last year, and now we might not have any of it.
And the bottom line is, you know, you talked about the 49ers have the coach, the Heat have the coach. Well, the Knicks have a really excellent coach, but he's a coach that coaches in a certain way, who emphasizes defense. So you go out and get him, Kemba Walker, who can't play defense anymore. And Evan Fournier, who's not a great defender. And it kind of unravels from there. You know, that was pretty much, you know, two of your five starters. It's unraveling from that point. A guy who emphasizes defense, you got him two guys that don't play defense. Just saying, it's not put together in the right way. It's game time. Brought to you by Telemardew Irish Whiskey. We got three hockey games locally tonight. The Rangers and the Blue Jackets. That's in Columbus. Starts at 7 p.m. We'll have the pregame show right here on ESPN at 6:30 on 98.7. And then the puck drops at 7. And you can also watch it on ESPN Plus. Now we have the Devils against Tampa Bay. That's in Tampa Bay. 7 p.m. start on ESPN Plus. And the LA Kings against the Islanders on the island. 7 p.m. puck drop. And ESPN Plus is where you could see it. So there you go. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. I will take a brief time out. We will come back. A lot of people want to talk about this. We see you. We got you on the board. We're ready to get to you. We'll do that in just a moment. Henrik Lundqvist will be on at 4 o'clock. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me give you some numbers, everybody. Last night against the Heat, Julius Randle was minus 34. R.J. Barrett was minus 36. Kemba Walker, minus 30. Fournier, minus 27. Four of the five starters.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the show?
Not good.
Is it being unkind to say that Evan Fournier looks like they signed a player from like a Jewish men's league when he's out there?
It's very unkind.
He looks like Andrew. You know, there are guys I've seen out playing at the Y or the JCC who look like it's Evan Fournier out there most nights. Not Celtics night Fournier, but the other nights, it looks like they're not capable of fielding a full team for the NBA. And then RJ, and we've said this all year, you know, he to me is the only potential silver lining this season is we've seen a lot of glimpses where he appears to be going the right way. But again, it's just so rare that you get it two or three games consecutively.
Let's go to the phone and see what you're thinking. Let's start it off with Shimmy in Staten Island. Shimmy.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Don. Hi, Peter.
Shimmy, somebody with a name like Shimmy, you have to sound more excited.
Yeah, you sound broken, Shimmy.
You sound broken.
Well, listen, Mike, you know my brother. My brother, Mergen Cena, played for Seton Hall. So
yeah?
You know my brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I wanted to say is I got two issues because, like, last night's game, I was watching last night's game, and I don't understand. Every time the second unit comes in, they give them a spark. They're hustling. They're young. They're more. They have more agility. They're more hungry. You know, Toppin, every time he comes in, how is the person supposed to play good and continue to play good if you cut his minutes? I mean, when they cut it to 10 points, all of a sudden they took out the second unit and put in Randle for Toppin. And all of a sudden, I'm not saying Toppin's a big star. Like, I'm not trying to over exaggerate. Well, I'm just talking about the play on the court. I mean, you have five starters who are slow. R.J. Barrett is slow. He's not a fast player. He plays in slow motion. Julius Randle, same thing. Why is Julius Randle bringing up the ball every time? It's beyond me.
And he doesn't have a great handle.
That's Tom Thibodeau.
But one thing, though, Shim, it worked last year. So he's trying the same thing that worked last year, and it's not working this year. He should not be bringing the ball up like LeBron James. He's not LeBron James. As for Obi, I want Obi to succeed. He's a local kid. But he's got a lot of flaws in his game. He shoots 20% from three-point range. So he gives them energy. The second unit does give them energy. But remember, the second unit is playing against the other team's second unit. How did Obi play when he played more minutes? He's not a good outside shooter. So if you're going to play against first-unit people, he's going to be shut down. They're not going to let him drive to the basket and get dunks on alley-oops. It's just not. And the one problem with Obi and Tom Thibodeau is this. He doesn't play defense. He tries. He gives energy. But he's not a defensive specialist. And that's why Tom Thibodeau does not play him that much. Because he gives as well as he gets. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Chris.
Hey, guys. Great job. And I just want to say I agree with you, Michael, about Julius Randle. To me, I'm in a hospital bed right now. Watching the Knicks, Julius Randle, to me, looks like he looks like he's out of shape. And the other day when they played Cleveland, and I like Thibodeau, but you're down one point, mm-hmm. and you're taking a 3-point shot. I saw that developing, that they're going to take a 3-point shot. Thibodeau should have been jumping out of his skin.
Well, he did. One thing,
the ball to the basket.
One thing, though, Chris. I believe that he designed a play to get to the basket because even after the game, he doesn't really do this as often. He criticized R.J. Barrett for they were down by two and they took a three. It was ridiculous. And R.J. Barrett is better when he's attacking the basket and going downhill, to use a catchphrase. And he pulled up and took a long three and missed it. So I don't think that was Thibodeau's play. I think that they called an audible when they saw the defense and he didn't go to the basket. So you can't blame that on Thibodeau. Let's go to Big Rod in New Jersey. Big Rod.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good.
I love the show.
Thanks.
Listen, I got 2 points here. And I love you, Michael, but I think you are in love with Tom Thibodeau. And I like Thibodeau, too. Don't get me wrong. Anybody that's coaching the Knicks or running the staff or on the team, I love my team. Mm-hmm. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and I'm suffering. But I agree with what Don said last year. Don said in a pandemic year in the bubble, the Knicks played as hard as any basketball team could play in the league. And what happened was other teams took their time off. And when it got to the playoffs, the true Knicks showed. Randall, the lights were too bright for him. And what happened is Tom Thibodeau is allowing this year's team, these rookies, to sit on the bench, these young rookies who are just got talent galore. Obi Toppin, I'm not saying he's better than Randall, but he's a better, more athletic player than Randall. Randall has given up on the team. I don't know if you see it. He has given up. He get an attitude. He doesn't play defense. And you talking about Toppin don't play defense. Randall don't play any defense. But you got a kid in McBride who is the point guard of the future. If he leaves the Knicks tomorrow, I guarantee you this kid will be a starting point guard in the league 5 years from now.
But, Rod, he's playing Tom Grimes. He's playing Grimes. He's playing Grimes lately.
Not Grimes, McBride. He doesn't play rookies, but he's playing McBride. I like McBride. I'm glad McBride is getting run. The second unit comes in every night and gives a spark. This starting point guard with Burks, he's not a point guard. He's not a point guard. You have a point guard in McBride on the bench. Why don't he play him?
I think
that's my whole point.
One thing I would agree with you, Rod. I'm not saying that Thibodeau is absolved of blame. Everybody should be blamed. His rotations are a little bit strange. But the roster that he has was given to him by the front office. So we all were anointing this guy the Coach of the Year last year. I think he actually won one of the Coach of the Year awards. Now he's a bad coach all of a sudden. We know what he is. He doesn't like playing young players. He doesn't like them making mistakes on his dime. So he wants veteran-type players. That's why he loves Jimmy Butler. That's why he's waiting. He's hoping the team doesn't drown before Derrick Rose gets back. He needs Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose knows his vision and is the player that he needs out there. But he's not going to play those young players all the time. And he does play Grimes a lot lately, so you can't say he's not playing young players. He plays Grimes. He plays Toppin. He gives them some daylight. Quickly's seen a lot of time. You watch Quickly. Quickly was great last year, right, guys?
Yeah,
he was.
Quickly this year is out of control, pulling up for three-pointers that he has no business even trying to take, and he's not hitting at the same clip that he did last year. They've all taken a step back, but the most noticeable step back is by Julius Randle. Just is.
And do you want, as a fan, to just see them play the kids and have this be a rebuilding year? Because that's what it'll become, Michael.
Right. So you went from the fourth seed to now you're just throwing in the towel, see if the kids can, like, develop.
Because if they do develop, then great. If not, you know, with those minutes, because they'll get exposed with extra minutes, possibly. And now you're going to lose the games you might have won and now forget even getting into the play-in. Maybe there are fans that want to see that because they might think, why do I even care about the play-in? We're not going anywhere.
And I think that it's sort of like the stubbornness of Thibodeau for some people. Like, people, McBride being someone like, you know, a hardcore Knicks fan, saw months ago have a breakout moment, and then all of a sudden they don't see him again at all. He's averaging 2 points, playing not at all. So it seems like, Michael, your point that he doesn't like to play young players, he also likes to play who he likes to play.
Yeah.
And we saw that with Kemba. He had to make an outright decision. The guy's not playing at all anymore.
9 straight games. Didn't see any daylight.
There's a stubbornness to him as well that I understand why that would be frustrating. And why you think, oh, we have someone who can play. Like, people think McBride can play both sides of the ball. And he's not getting the opportunity to play on a team that's not hustling, not playing defense.
One thing about veteran coaches, though, that people should know, players have to earn their time in practice. He's seeing stuff in practice that we're not seeing. So if he doesn't like the way they're practicing, they're not going to get daylight.
Yeah, that's a good point. He knows them better than anybody. He knows what they deserve.
Yeah. But people have their own agendas and their own.
Well, because it's
people are subjective.
But it's the age-old thing. Michael will tell you with baseball. You know, that guy, that pinch runner, that pinch hitter, occasionally the fourth outfielder he plays goes 4 for 4. Now everybody wants him to start. And then he starts, and all of a sudden he's batting 200 because he gets exposed. He shows the warts. That's why he's a bench player.
The favorite players in sports are the backup quarterbacks and the backup catchers.
Mm-hmm.
And when they play, you realize why they're backups. 1-800-919-3776. Take more of your phone calls. Giants coaching search looks like it's narrowed down now. It's probably 2. We'll talk about that. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, getting closer and closer to Big Game Sunday. Keep it locked in for your chance to win the ultimate box pool and 98.7's Super Box Bonanza presented by FanDuel. Qualifiers will each receive $20 in FanDuel credit and access to our invite-only virtual Big Game preview with Chris Candy, Peter Rosenberg, and Chris Carlin on Friday, February 11th. Plus, pick your Super Box for a chance at incredible prizes like a gas-powered pizza oven, Oculus Quest VR headset, and more. And don't forget about your chance to score cold, hard cash. It's all brought to you by FanDuel and your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. All right, so Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, has said he's going to stay the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. So that takes one name off the Giants' possibility list. And Don, to the best of my thought process, I guess that leaves it up to the two Bryans, Dable and Flores.
And I felt after that press conference that it was Dable's to lose. The way he went out of his way to talk about how you didn't need experience as a head coach, wanting to have open lines of communication, what better guy to get than somebody he just worked with? Somebody who's an offensive guy, had success with. So I think it's going to be him.
I mean, listen, if you base it on everything else that happens in the NFL, it'll happen with him first because he's white. I mean, let's just take a look around. Am I correct in saying that we talked about this huge issue in inequity when the season ended? And so far, where are we at?
I mean, I wouldn't automatically jump to that. I mean, this guy has a the reason that there is an inequity in this is because people hire people that they know and they have a comfort level with.
I'm not actually giving a hard time to the Giants, right? That's not where this isn't about the Giants in the specific case. It's just amazing to me that we, and again, I don't have a specific person to point a finger at, but it just seems like we can be so miffed at how a league that's 70 has a 70% black workforce can have one black head coach. And then when it's time for new head coaches to get hired, what blows my mind, guys, is the last couple we've seen over the last couple days, and I say this with all due respect, I'm not saying they're not prominent figures, but they're not bigger names, more established names than any of the names we're talked about.
But
and they just pop up and get hired.
Do you know how it changes?
Go ahead.
The Bears just hired a man of color to be their GM. The Vikings just hired a man of color to be their GM. That's how it changes.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean,
so
I think
two GMs got jobs, men of color.
I mean, listen, I think the ownership is, of course, the biggest issue, but you would hope that with GM that could be a start.
But what helps Dable is just the knowing. Like you see any coach, Peter, right, that gets a job and goes someplace else, what does he do? He takes a bunch of players with him. He takes a bunch of assistant coaches. I brought this up yesterday on the air during the Don Show, is that when you take on a new job, the most anxiety you feel, you don't know where the office is, you don't know where the bathroom is, none of the faces look familiar to you. And it's uncomfortable to try to get to know everybody and then do the job. So that's why people gravitate towards people they know. As soon as they see a familiar face, they run over there, they talk to them. To go out and have your first head coach be someone that you know, that you have a relationship with, that's a big deal. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't know Flores. He probably does. But he just worked with this guy. He just had success with this guy. They came within a whisker of going to the championship game that would have produced a Super Bowl bid.
But sometimes, Don, I think that works against them.
It could.
Like, oh, it was so great. I was just there. I know. Well, that's what you know. But sometimes we need to see more.
But
it might not work here.
But he's not cherry picking somebody whose name isn't even been listed as a candidate. This guy was a candidate all
beforehand.
Year. You know, so the feeling was that he was going to get a head coaching job. So It's not like he's thinking outside the box. He's not grabbing somebody he knows just for that reason. There's a lot of other reasons why I think he would make an excellent head coach here. I would choose Flores over Dable because I think experience is important when you have a neophyte general manager.
Yeah, but the thing that worries me about Flores, it doesn't seem like he plays well with others.
Well, what worries me more is take a look at all the assistants that failed around him.
Right.
You know, that's what scares me more than anything. But I could take either one of them. I just feel like the experienced head coach is at a disadvantage because he's got the NFL failure right there front of his resume, where the guy that never was a head coach before comes in with a clean slate. But I want this guy to feel comfortable. If he feels comfortable with him, I just get a sense that's who it's going to be. And if it's down to those two, Michael, I would pretty much think it's a lock. It's going to be Dable.
All right, so two people see things in different ways. So Tracy on Twitter goes, Don, loving the hair today. It's perfection. Fluffy, flowing, and fabulous. Wow. Then there's Manny Blanco. Right after Tracy on my feed, huge fan, Don, love you, but can you fix your mullet before you go on the air? Looks ridiculous now. God, I agree with the guys.
But we'll fix it. How do you fix it? Get rid of it?
I think he wants to get rid of it.
Because I think for what it is, it looks beautiful. I just went to the bathroom, okay. Fixed it up.
Oh.
So when you say fix it, if you mean fix it like get rid of it, okay, that you don't like the mullet.
Right.
But if you think that it's because there's one hair out of place, you're misled. It's spectacular what's going on.
I also love people with strong opinions. And those are people that listen to the show. So Josh writes on Twitter, you guys don't watch Obi or RJ hoop at all, and it shows. Just stop speaking on it.
Okay.
So, Josh, you know it better than us, and you obviously know it better than Thibodeau. And I don't know why you say RJ. I have nothing to say that's negative about RJ. He's been the star of the team. But if you're going to tell me that Obi Toppin is a good defender and can hit the three, then you should stop talking about it because you don't know what you're talking about. But it's funny. I mean, to have a – and then he also says – somebody says, well, you finna call in, his friend Zion says. He goes, and they never let me on when I do.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew, have you ever shut down this guy that wants to come on and show his amazing basketball acumen?
No, I have not.
Oh, so you're obviously fibbing, Josh.
Yeah.
Maybe you just don't want to get in the fire with us. I don't know. Maybe come it's on, a little man. Scary.
Let's dance.
That's right.
You dance?
Let's go, baby.
She can't say yes unless you ask her out.
Because we don't know what we're seeing, so we shouldn't talk on it. But you do, because obviously you've played in the NBA.
You know what I love? You know what I love? Because I love confrontation. It's great radio.
Yeah, you enjoy it.
All right? Because it's easy to just say, hey, guys, I disagree. I believe top in this. I believe top in that. That's how human
and
beings.
And we don't know what we're looking
but
at.
But when you tweet out, you're not watching, you don't know what you're talking about, but then are not willing to engage on the air, then you're just weak.
And also, did you hear Jeff Van Gundy? Does he not know what he's talking about either? He doesn't know what he's talking about either, right? He should stop talking on it too. So the deal is, if I can, I want to make sure I get
surmise?
This right. I want to, like, Josh, you should be running an NBA team because only you know what you're looking at. Now, I don't know your credentials. Let me see your bio here. God got me. Okay, that's great. I mean, I wish God had me. I hope he
does.
Well,
that's the problem. If God doesn't have you, though, it's going to be a tough argument for you.
So I don't see any, like, real hoop background. I've covered the NBA. I don't know if that qualifies me at all, but I think everybody could have an opinion, so we should stop talking about it because we obviously don't. I watch every second primarily of every Knick game to the point of, like, getting indigestion.
Yeah. You watch a lot of Knicks basketball.
Too much.
The only thing that I said about R.J. Barrett, someone would have a tough time arguing, which is that it's not consistent every night. Can someone show me something that says that's not true?
Also, you want to have one thing to be concerned about with RJ? Remember last year how much better he'd gotten at the free throw line? That's going back now. He's shooting in, I think, 67% from three or from the free throw line. And many people are saying that's why he didn't drive to the basket the other night, took the three-pointer, because he felt if he drove to the basket, he was going to get fouled and he might not be able to hit the free throws. That's the problem this year with RJ. All right, Henrik Lundqvist is coming on.
Here we go.
So you'll have to call in a little bit later to school us, just take us to the woodshed and tell us what we don't know. But Henrik won't do that. Getting his number retired tomorrow. Number 30 will never be worn by a New York Ranger again. We'll talk to him about that honor when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie.
Now, I always wanted to do this, and it came up in conversation yesterday, so I decided to do the undertaking. Top five greatest lyrics of all time. Now, this obviously means it's Don LaGreca's top five favorite lyrics of all time. So there's no way you can guess. So I'm just going to go dive right into it, and then you can tell me yay or nay. Sound good, right, Peter?
Yeah.
I'm talking directly to you.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's just me and you.
Well, number five is one that we brought up yesterday, and of course it's from Warren Zevon's song, Werewolves of London.
I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
That's such a great lyric.
Wait, is that on the list, Don?
That's number five.
Wow.
What made reminds it so me, good?
Reminds me of you, by the way.
Because it's so descriptive, and it's just such a cool thing that if it really happened, you'd want to see that. His hair was perfect. I like it. Number four, Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell.
All right.
It was in my yearbook. The world is full of kings and queens who blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's heaven and hell.
Wow. Blind your eyes and steal your dreams.
This one is from Mona Lisa and Mad Hatters.
Now
Elton John.
I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say.
Isn't that beautiful, Peter?
Give me the whole
lyric
line.
That's a chorus.
Relax yourself, tough guy.
Give me the whole line, Don.
The whole line goes, and now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say. I thought I knew, but now I know that rose trees never grew in New York City.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here.
Did they get you to train your heroes for ghosts, hot ashes for trees, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change? Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a cage?
Best part of that. Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a chain, in a cage?
Wow.
Would you rather be the fourth outfielder for the Yankees or the center fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates? That's the way
fourth
I read it.
Fourth outfielder for the Yanks.
Well, then you would rather be the walk-on part in a war. Well, I'd rather be the lead role in a cage. And finally.
Finally.
Number one.
Here we go.
Don McLean, Vincent.
For they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful.
That's number one.
Wow.
You took your life as lovers often do, but I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you.
Wow. I know. I don't know the song Vincent by Don McLean. That was something.
It's about Vincent Van Gogh.
Hence the Starry Night.
That's right.
Wow. I'm putting it all together.
That's right. So those are my top five.
Would not have picked any of them.
Well, no, because that's you, and right. I'm me, but and Peter's
the,
Peter.
You have the hubris to...
Yeah,
that
that's the thing. The difference is the hubris.
Yep.
By the way, that's the name of Don's
band. It would be called the Hubris.
That's the name of Don's 22nd book. The right, difference is the hubris.
Don, are you done with your list now?
Well, usually one is the end.
Okay, good. So here is Jeff Atkinson from East Patchogue. He is our Superbox Bonanza contestant. Hey, Jeff. How
hey,
you
Jeff.
Doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Did you like Don's list? Jeffy, did you like Don's list?
Oh, yes, I like the list, yes.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Good. All right, so you've now won the $20 FanDuel credit, access for four to the FanDuel pregame virtual party, and you're going to be eligible to win part of the $5,000 we're giving away on that big Sunday in February. So now we need you to pick a box, Jeff, 1 to 100.
Box 36, please.
It is not a super box, Jeff, but you are... You're locked into 36. Stay tuned. When we pick the numbers, you know exactly what to root for in the big game. And we thank you for playing with us, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. And
good
I
luck.
Love the show. Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice. Thank you so much. Wow, this has been a very intense last 5 minutes. I've got to go towel off.
I like Dennis Cleary offering the great Kanye West line. Too many Urkels on your team. That's why your win's low.
All right, we're going to have Jeff Van Gundy on with us in just a moment. He had some very pointed things to say about the Knicks after or during their loss to the Heat last night on ESPN. We'll talk to Jeff in just a moment. That's always fun right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Michael K. Show. Fascinating. I'm just fascinated by Jeff and the way he breaks things down, and you could certainly sense his love for those 90s teams with the Knicks, and I'm not selling a book. It's already on the New York Times bestseller list. So
I mean,
Peter, you were right.
We did it.
Yeah, if you're a Knicks fan, even if you're a basketball fan, it's just a fascinating case study and how differently it's done and how Riley was and how Van Gundy was and the short time of Don Nelson. Let's go to the... Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kareem in Staten Island. Kareem.
Yo, Mike, Don, Peter, what's going on, fellas?
How you
what's
doing?
Up?
Good, good, good. Listen, man, I was calling earlier, man, to talk about this guy, Julius Randle, man. This guy man, before he becomes a variant and contaminates the entire locker room, he got to go, man, because he's going to twist those young boys' heads around, and we don't need that right now. His game right now is doo-doo. You know, he does that jab step, and he waits for defenders to get on him. He has open. It's just too much, man. It's just too much. And I just think it's time for a change. He's not built for the city, and he showed that ever since the FU game. Every game after that, he showed you he's not built for New York.
And I'll tell you what, Kareem, you could say that. It's not time to go. His value is at rock bottom right now. He's very highly paid. I don't know if it's that easy, Peter. I don't think you could do it.
Well, I know, and it's not that easy. And also, are you really willing to give up on someone that quick? I mean, it's frustrating. The body language is terrible. The game isn't good. His motor is low right now. I understand all that stuff. But for who he was last year and what they've decided to invest in him, do you blow? You can't give up right now. The fact of the matter is they're still in this thing. I know that everyone feels done with them right now, but they are very much still alive. And crazier things have happened than a team finding stride, winning a play-in game, and then all of a sudden having a competitive, interesting series that makes you think differently.
All right, but let's say that happened. Let's say they get out of the play-in, which is basically playoff a Jace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the first round and you lose again. Well, then you just did what you did last year. Is that enough?
But Don, if you get rid of him, you're going to take somebody else's problem. You can't get rid of him for a player that's really going to help you. So there's a story by Bleacher Report that the Knicks are willing to deal Kemba and Evan Fournier. Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
They're going to be really easy to deal, too.
But I understand that part of it. But even the best-case scenario, all right, they get hot, they get into the play-in game. I don't think they can get to the six. Can you?
No.
All right, so now you're in a play-in, and we saw what happened last year in the playoffs. Remember what Jeff asked, like, when did they start letting fans in? Well, if my understanding is correct, they didn't open it all the way up until they got to the playoffs. We were still at that 10%, 2,000 people in the building. And then when they got to the playoffs was when vaccinated fans can get in. Am I remembering that correct? I don't think it was until the playoffs that they had a full building.
It was a slow build, but there were bigger crowds toward the end. But a full building, you're right, Don,
right.
Was the playoffs.
And that's when I think Randall got exposed. You know, we're talking like this is all of a sudden. What we're seeing from Randall now, with the exception of that one game, where that one big game in the one win they had, we got a glimpse, a preview of what this year was going to be. So is it a leap to say that maybe when the pressure got high, the building got full, things really changed?
I mean, we're grasping at anything, Don. Why would there be such a drop-off? So maybe it is the crowd. There was no pressure with not a crowd. You didn't know who was watching. It's like we're doing a radio show. And if the amount of people, and we've actually talked about this amongst ourselves. When we do live shows, we're slightly different, right, Peter? When we're playing to a crowd.
Absolutely. Chance
and
we're in our zone
to
the same way.
Sometimes to our detriment. So,
I'd say usually.
So there could be hundreds of thousands of people listening right now. We don't see them. And I think we perform differently than if we saw 700 people in front of us. It's just different. You can't say it's not different.
But there was also something that went along with the building being empty, and that was expectations were low. Mm-hmm. And nobody was expecting anything from the Knicks to all of a sudden have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, especially the way they started. And I've been saying it since from the very beginning. They were playing at a different gear than everybody else because they felt the regular season meant something. They wanted to finish with that 4 seed. And the same thing's happening to Atlanta. Atlanta was in the same boat. They saw value in winning those games and finishing high because they couldn't take their foot off the gas. If they did, they would have been stuck in the play-in. And now everybody knows how good you are. Now they're not looking past you. And I think it's a combination of the two. The pressure's on because of the crowd. The pressure's on because now the expectations are much higher.
And one other thing, Don, that now we're not even bringing up. So when teams came into the Garden last year and it was empty, it was still the Garden, but it wasn't the Garden. You know, you're playing in front of the New York fans, which bring you up a level. Now they all want to win at the Garden. So except for that 1-5-game winning streak, the Knicks have not been great at holding home court advantage. I think the crowds have played against them, and their expectations have risen. And for some reason, it has affected Randall, and he's got from love, it's gone to hate with the crowd. And by sitting out, and I'm glad that Jeff said that, not me, where I'm the one who's always pounding at home. Stars must be accountable. With Ewing, all you had to do, he was there every game in his blue terry cloth robe. You knew how to make sure not to step on his feet, and you couldn't put on a light on the camera into his eyes. He didn't like that, but he answered all of your questions every single game.
And
everyone.
Again, the fans look at it the wrong way, like, oh, look, the media's put off. He doesn't have to talk. All right, he doesn't talk. Somebody's going to have to talk.
Right.
And then somebody else has to talk for him, and all it is a glimpse into, is he ready for this stage? Because part of being a star isn't just the minutes and the points and the wins. It's being a leader. It's talking to the media after losses. There's a lot that comes, a lot of responsibility with being a star in New York. We just had Henrik Lundqvist on. He understood that responsibility. Everything you said is magnified. If you don't talk to the media, it becomes a story. How you're feeling that day becomes a story because all the attention is on you. And if you can't take that, then you're in the wrong city or you're in the wrong business.
Let's take a brief time out. We'll take more of your phone calls. Big ENN coming up at 6 o'clock. It's Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
The same boat, you see. I'm floating over the peanut gallery. Welcome back to the Michael K. Show, everybody. We're on until 6:30 today because that's the pregame for the Rangers, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then Donnie will call the play-by-play when the puck drops at 7 p.m. It's also on ESPN+. Plus. Locally, Jersey and Tampa Bay, 7 p.m. also on ESPN+. Plus, and the L.A. Kings and the Islanders, 7 p.m. on ESPN+. Plus.
I'm just watching the point now, and DiPietro's on it. And they have an MMA fighter, Peter. I didn't see the name. I didn't see who it is as a guest. And he's breaking down all of the different fighters in the NHL. So they broke out one of the fights DiPietro had when he played in the league. It's very funny.
I think I've seen the goalie-on-goalie fight.
Yeah, right.
The famed one.
Yes.
Michael Gelkin, who covers the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, reporting that Mike McCarthy has been told he will return as head coach next season. There was some ambiguity about it, but after the January 16th loss, but he is coming back.
So what's Quinn's motivation to stay?
Maybe to get the job when he's done.
That's what I was thinking, or he didn't feel he had a realistic chance at any of the other jobs.
See, that's a good point. When people remove themselves, sometimes they remove themselves so they don't get turned down.
Yeah. They get a feel. They get a couple of interviews and just get a sense that it's not going to happen. And like you said, he goes back to Dallas. They've got, you know, if they get their act together, we'll be a playoff team and maybe make a run. And if they don't, then McCarthy's out of a job, and maybe he knows that he'll be next in line.
Big Football Friday tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's the last chance for Peter to really make a move to climb out of last place and avoid the punishment. Don has a chance to catch me. I'm 4.5 points ahead of him. How many points are you behind him, Peter? 5.5?
5.5.
Right.
So you've got to hit on everyone.
Well, if I were to hit the 3 this time, right, and we had the same pick for the 2,
then it could be the Super Bowl that does it.
Then the Super Bowl, I could catch him. But it's tough because I know it's wrong to do this, but how do I not think about which way Don's going to pick? I don't want to eliminate myself.
Oh, it is a conundrum, and you're going to have to be doing that in St. Louis. You think that over on the flight tonight, the whole deal, or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, we got to be honest. We're going to be talking about these two games coming up. I'm not going to hide it. Let's see how it works out. I'm not going to play four corners on you, buddy. I'm going to do it right. The show means more than anything.
Honorably. You're going to do it honorably because that's what you are.
Well, Michael, tomorrow there's two games to talk about.
Right.
We're picking both games.
Right.
And I don't want to sit there and hem and haw and not give my opinions on things because I'm afraid it's going to tip off Peter. That'd be selfish. It wouldn't be good for the show.
And but aren't we going to already have our picks turned in?
Yes.
It's not going to matter.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's too bad.
Well, I guess the rest of this show, but what's left? We got
You know what? Don, do me a favor. Question for you. Who are you picking tomorrow? Yeah?
Much on the line.
I'll tell you this. If I was to guess, Michael, based on questions he's asked during interviews, I think he likes San Francisco. Mm. because I think he's I think he's into the idea
Beckham.
That San Francisco has the Rams number.
Yeah.
But me asking why, I think, is a legitimate question.
Totally. But and also the Rams have that nasty little hook. No one likes that nasty little hook.
And if you're taking San Francisco, do you dare? Or if you're taking the Rams, do you dare go up against an 0-6 Shanahan against McVay number? So many things to
the thing
consider.
Is, can we get two more classic games?
I doubt it. I bet you these are going to be stinkers.
Well, I always look at championship weekend. Just give me one good game.
That's all you want.
Hopefully one's good. It's a lot to ask for two. And if both are classic, then we'd be riding a six-game classic winning streak into a Super Bowl you know is going to be a dud.
Let's go to Sam in Allenburg. Sam.
Yeah, this is Sam McCoy from Allenburg. I was just going to talk to you guys a little bit about Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
I know the Denver Broncos just picked up Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coach for the Packers. And I grew up in Butte County, and I was I did color commentating for Butte College when Aaron was played for Butte, and I was also his little league coach for baseball in the early '90s. Him and Jordan. So me and my whole family's from that area. My son played basketball for Butte, and my wife got a degree there, and I did too. But the talk is that there's a good possibility that he's possibly going to Denver, and they're building a team around him. And I'm telling you right now, he's not. I really truly believe this, and a lot of people that I know from that area says the same thing, that he's not going back to Green Bay.
Well, I'll tell you what, that seems to be the heavy chatter, Sam, and thank you for the family history, that he's going to go to Denver. If he wants to get back to a Super Bowl, baby, he's got a clearer path in the NFC than he does in the AFC. You go to the AFC – you're dealing with Josh Allen. You're dealing with Patrick Mahomes. Good luck getting to the Super Bowl. So what does he want?
Well, what if he went to Tennessee? With those receivers, that running game, that defense, a division that should be able to get him six wins.
But don't you think his best chance of getting back to the Super Bowl is with the Green Bay Packers?
I mean, honestly, if it's him and Devontae.
Right.
If it's him and Devontae, I think they're as good, and I think he's has the same potential in Tennessee. Call me stupid and a homer. I think he'd have a chance in Washington. I think he'd have a chance in a few teams if it's him and Devontae.
He'd have a chance. He'd have a better chance in the NFC. Who wants to go up against Mahomes and Allen to get into the Super Bowl?
Right. So you're saying
I would avoid that route.
No. Right now, but get out so you don't have to face San Francisco. You know, we keep talking about the quarterbacks he's got to get through. I mean, they're routinely a 13-win team into the playoffs. And
then they get San Francisco and get crushed.
Yeah, you know, getting beaten by Eli Manning or, Garoppolo. So right now, getting out of Green Bay, he might feel like is his best chance to do something.
Yeah, but I would disagree with him because, again, you could look at the games against the Giants and the 49ers and go, well, that was – they didn't play their best game. If they played their best game, they probably could have beaten both of those teams. But you could play your best – ask Josh Allen. You could play your best game and lose to Patrick Mahomes. You could play your best game and lose to Josh Allen. Well, why would you go that route? Oh, I'd like the minefield route.
But listen, it wasn't all Tom Brady that beat Mahomes. All of a sudden, the defense worked. Let's not make Patrick Mahomes out to be unstoppable. He was over the weekend because the Bills' defense helped. That's why if he goes to Tennessee with those receivers, running back, and a defense, I don't think you look at it with the quarterbacks. Michael, he hasn't been beaten by classic quarterbacks since he's been in Green Bay.
Right.
You know, and he'll still have Tom to have to deal with. I mean, I just think you go to where you've got – I would stay in Green Bay. But if he still wants to go someplace else and win like Tom did, there's a couple of destinations. But I don't know if there's another destination in the NFC that's as good as a Tennessee. Where would he go in the NFC?
I don't think there's a place to go in the NFC other than stay with Green Bay.
Right.
You guys are making me be this homer. I'm telling you, Washington with a quarterback and Devontae Adams would be a solid team.
But you know, you're adding then $50 million at least in cap room.
They have $55 million.
Well, they got to sign draft picks too, Peter.
Oh, Why bother? You have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. I mean, I imagine there's a world.
That's
in which
a poo-poo take.
I imagine there's a world in which they could clear more space. They have some big defense contracts that they feel like they could cut down because a couple people didn't perform the way they wanted. But in terms, but they would have, then have, if you had Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin as your second receiver, Logan Thomas as your tight end, and then that front four led by Chase Young. I don't know. I think that's an appealing team. Now, the problem is it's Washington. We don't even know what their name's going to be next week. But
it could be the Rodgers.
Exactly. Maybe they change the name.
To the Washington
Rodgers. Or the Rogans. The Washington Rogans.
I like it. You know, leave it to Jarv to just sum up the pick segment in this one sentence. If Peter and Don pick the same three-point pick, Peter's season is over.
That's it. Because then he would be, yeah, there's
the
only.
The most he could pick up would be 2 points, and then he'd be 3.5 out with only 3 points
That's
left
it.
To play.
So if we have the same three-point play, Peter, it could be over tomorrow.
And so there's a 1 in 4 chance it's over for me tomorrow.
You've got to read him, man. You've got to read him. You got to know him. You two are like bread and butter. You love each other. You should know what he's going
to
pick.
It's very tough for me to know what he feels on Cincinnati, Kansas City so far. I just can't read it.
You can read ENN. That's coming up in just a moment. Should be great. I'm hearing good things about it right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.